Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a right fine day. A little wet out there, but it could be snowing, you know. Not that bad. It's exciting to be here. It's exciting to remember that we're gathered together on sacred and holy ground. That it's not just wood and carpeting and painting and lights and that. But that this is ground, this is a building that has been dedicated, ordained, anointed, set aside for God's purpose as a meeting place for His people. And we're here because in this place, God meets us in a special way. Only Jesus is with us every day of the week. But here, God inhabits the praises of His people. Here's a whole different level. This is the meeting place of God with His people. And so God is right here in this place. And we need to remember that. Sacred and holy, sanctuary. And it's good to be here. Praise God. I've got a couple of announcements that I want to share. One is that, the women's book study is March 7th. And then healing service is this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and they're going to be having bells in here at 6:15. So if you come for the healing service, we'll meet outside my office. And Pastor Stephen is having a Bible study. So Pastor Stephen's a live wire, so you really want to take that Bible study with him. Contact him for more information or the office, and so you can get signed up. And also, Pastor Stephen is looking for drivers for his ministry. Him and I had planned out this ministry to provide people with rides to church. So he needs people who are willing to drive on Sunday mornings. I think that's all the announcements I wanted to make. So we have a bunch more coming up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. Help us in this moment by the power of your Holy Spirit to be fully aware of you, to be in your presence, to do the very best we can with what we have, with where we're at. Come, Holy Spirit, come into this place and open us up to receive the word that you have for us today and transform us according to your word. Transform us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place. Fill us with love for one another, your love, one for the other, whether we know each other or not, and anoint us with your Spirit so that we will be your children no matter where we go and what we do. We pray that we are always a reflection of the love and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us here with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass that peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning as you begin your way back to your seats. So glad you're greeting each other today. If you are visiting with us today, we offer you a very, very warm welcome and so glad to see you here. And we would like you to take some information about our church. It's in the North X, hung on the Shepherd's Crook, so please take that packet. Also, if you notice that someone who normally sits next to you is not here today, give them a call or send them a card. Maybe they need you to get in touch with them. Maybe they're sick. Also, there are pew registration folders at the end of each pew. We ask you that you fill those out. And if you have any prayer requests, there's a 3x5 card in that folder that you can put in the holder that's at the end of each pew for the pastor. There are several announcements. I know you can read, but I'm going to highlight a couple for you anyway. First of all, candy sales for Easter. That's a very important fundraiser for our church, and we would hope that you would order candy. That sale will start today, and please take note of that. Also, if you are interested at all in helping our campers, we do have a great campership here at First Church, and the fundraisers for the campers are hoagies and pepperoni rolls, and they are available monthly, so please take note of that. The midweek Lenten service being held here in our community is on Wednesday at 11:30. If you are able, please attend that. It's a very meaningful service to prepare you for Easter. Diane has some other announcements.
First of all, on the clipboard today, on the top, there's a need for people to help with the nursery, and that's on the top sheet, for the Living Last Supper on March 27th and 29th. So if you're able to help with that, if you would please sign up. Also, scrawled on the bottom of that top sheet, Alice told us today that she's going to need some help, hopefully some younger people that are able to, like, climb ladders and things like that to help with the flowers and putting up the big flower cross for Easter. And that will be on Saturday morning, the 31st of March, at 9:30 in the morning. And so there's a sign-up, a couple of names on there already. If you are able to help, come and learn how that thing is put up. Because it's been a well-kept secret over the years, so we can use some new blood to know how it's all put up. There are some other sheets on here that are repeated, so please look at those if you have not already done so. We'd appreciate that. Last thing, for the Living Last Supper, out on the narthex table, there are some pocket posters, which are really handy. Take a handful. I have plenty. Pass them out in the community for the Last Supper. If you know someone who can post some posters or places that you can put them, please take the posters. They are also out on the table. And there are yard signs just to the right of the doors as you exit. Please take those. Remember, though, to ask permission if it's not on your own property. And also remember to take them down after it's over. We have probably about 40 signs thereabouts that are left. So we need to get them out and about for the community. We appreciate your help for that. Now, the bells and the choir know to come on Wednesday this week because of the chili cook-off. Which is here on Thursday in town. But if there are any of you who would like to come and sing for the Living Last Supper, that rehearsal also will be on Wednesday at 8:15. And we're usually done around 9 o'clock. So if you're able to come or you know someone out in the community who likes to sing and they would like to take part, please invite them to come. Thank you.
Are there any further announcements from anyone in the congregation? Yes, Bonnie. Thank you, Bonnie. There being no further announcements, we will begin our worship.
light. Without it, we stumble blindly in the darkness. With it, everything is illuminated and clear. Sometimes the light is dim. Sometimes it flickers, ready to die. But as long as we have it to guide our path, we know we are safe. Christ is called the light of the world, and we, as his followers, are instructed to walk in the light as he is in the light.
I am James the Lesser. I remember Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men." Jesus was living out his last days, yet his light never wavered. If we were in his place, knowing that death awaited us soon, would we still reflect our light? Would our brightness shine against the darkness of the world?
And what about now? Does our faith, our light, burn brightly? Or does it flicker in the turmoil of our daily lives? Would we rather remain in the darkness after the candles are extinguished? Or do we yearn for the light? For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, from death, and Christ will shine on you." Let us gather courage from the example of Jesus as he faced the darkness of his own death.
On this, the second Sunday in Lent, our February memory verse is at the top of your bulletin. Let us repeat it twice. Matthew 5:44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Matthew 5:44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Please stand for our call to worship. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from helping me, from the worst of my enemy?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
In my night, but I am the worst.
Yet you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness.
In you our forebears trusted. They trusted.
To you they cried and were saved.
In you they trusted and were not disappointed.
Please remain standing for our hymn number 100, "God in Whose Love Is Reigning O'er Us."
Good morning, good morning. How are you? Thank you. Okay. Hey, who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, Jesus loves us. Jesus has a plan for our lives. He wants us to behave in a certain way every day. There are things that Jesus wants us to do with all the time. We're going to try a little game here. So come on with me. Just stand up right here. Okay. I'm going to ask you to do something for me, and I want you to do exactly what I tell you, okay? I want you to walk to the back and touch the door and then stop there, okay? Okay. Now, come back this way until I say stop. Stop. Okay, turn around 2 times. Shake somebody's hand, one person's hand. Okay, come down towards me. Stop. Okay, pick up a book, hymnal or a Bible. Okay, hold it up in the air. Wave it a little bit. Okay, now put it back. Okay, come on back down front. All right. Jesus gives us commands. The best place to find out what Jesus wants us to do is in where? What book? In the Bible. So in the Bible, read that. And sometimes the Holy Spirit wants us to do things and guides us and directs us. And it's important to learn how to listen, to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit, to obey the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God's commands don't make sense to us, but we do them anyways. We are obedient. See, God has a plan. God's smarter than us. So we just need to do what God tells us to do. And the place we begin is with the Bible. So we learn what's in the Bible. We come to church, hang out with other Christians, and we do what God tells us to do. Okay? So obey. That's the word. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. Help us to hear and obey, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
Our word of God today is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and also your offspring. It will be an everlasting covenant to you and your offspring after you." This is the word of God. Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me, with his God be the glory.
Dear Heavenly Father, wow, thank you. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity to give to you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Multiply them, Lord, and use them according to your will through the ministries of this church to reach out to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Joys. What joys do we want to share first here? It's been that long already, huh? First anniversary. All right. Congratulations. And they said it wouldn't last. Come on. Other joys.
Indoor plumbing.
Thank you, Connie. That all this rain is not snow. And I said at first service, if you are having problems because of all the rain, if there's anything we can do for you, let us know. Other joys. What are you joyful for, thankful for?
Lionel Trains.
If you get Facebook, you may have seen Fritz's train setup that he's working on. It's a whole platform. Can't wait till it's done. Lori's eating real food. All great. Glad to hear that. Other joys?
Family and friends.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yep, it really is a joy, a privilege to say that we know Billy Graham, that we've heard him and been alive during that time. Oh, thank you. Yes. Yes, other people were observing my necktie too up here. Anybody else have a joy? Today is the anniversary, somebody's birthday today. It was Alice's birthday today and somebody else's. What's that? Yeah, right. Well, for all of our joys, we like to say, Praise the Lord. Okay. Pens and pencils. Alan, did your sister pass away? On Monday. Sister Dolores. Keep Alan and family in our prayers. We want to pray for, these are cards that were, I was given. Let's pray for Donna and for Janet and for Tilly. Tilly, T-I-L-L-I-E. Donna, Janet, and Tilly. We also want to pray for Davy and Jacob and William, Davy, Jacob. William, Madison, and Vanessa. God bless you. We want to pray for animal protector staff and volunteers. The animal protector staff and volunteers are mourning the loss of one of their residents. Our prayer homework for the week also includes all the names on the back of our bulletin. Please make sure you take those home with you. Pray over those all week. We want to pray for addicts. We want to come against this drug addiction in the name of Jesus Christ. Take authority over it. We want to continue to pray for people of violent crimes, the Parkland school shooting, we want to pray for the victims of the weather, people who have mudslides and flooded basements and homes, and let's pray for Matt, M-A-T-T, and family, and Ruth, Phoebe Rose, our first responders. Pray for David. We have two Davids in our midst battling cancer. Pray for Pastor Stephen and Dawn. And please pray for our church, FUMC. Pray for our country, USA. And for Harry. Lawrence's brother, Harry. Glory. Anybody else have a name they want to offer up?
I'll ask for prayers for Agnes as she goes through physical therapy this week.
Okay, Agnes. Mike? How old was he, do you know? Missionaries. First name?
Mike.
Don? You have a friend that lost a mom and a cousin that, what? Leukemia, okay. Did I see another hand over here? Anybody else? Unspoken request? Just raise your hand. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's go to battle. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. The roof over our heads, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, the vehicles that we drive and that we ride in, the roads upon which we travel for this place. Thank you, Lord, for family and friends, for our health such that it is, for our education, for our abundance, our prosperity. Thank you, God, so very much for all of these things. Help us, God, to use those blessings the way you intended in order for us to be a blessing to others. Help us to share what we've got with everybody else. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence, Harry and David, and Ruth, Matt and family. We lift up to Agnes and Deb and Walt, his family. We pray for our missionaries. We lift up to you Cliff and Doris and Marge, all those who are traveling, God, especially Mike. We lift up to you, Lord, a family who lost a three-week-old baby. We pray for Linda and for first responders. We come against this drug addiction in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you our country and our country's leaders, our church, our youth group. We lift up to you Pastor Stephen and Dawn, Phoebe Rose. All these names, Lord, on the back of our bulletin, they need our attention. They need your attention, especially. Lord, we lift up to you a cousin battling cancer. We lift up to you a friend and family who lost their mom. And God, we lift up to you the unspoken request. We believe, God, that merely mentioning these names in this place, that it has an effect, that it has power. For God, we believe, help our unbelief. And we're asking that you do a mighty work in the lives of these people, these situations. For we know, God, that with you all things are possible. That if God be for us, who can be against us? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We believe that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We have favor with God and man. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. I have a little side chat to begin with. You may have heard the rumblings and stirrings going on in the United Methodist Church. Let me shed a little bit of light on that. We have come to a bit of a tipping point, United Methodist Church. The straw that broke the camel's back, I suppose, is the question about homosexuality, same-sex marriages, ordination of gays. And it's, you know, that tension has always been there. But because of recent developments in our society, it's brought it to the forefront in the United Methodist Church. And so there's been a real argument going on back and forth. And there are folks who want to, folks who are threatening to leave the denomination, people who want to change the way things are written And so it has gotten to the point where Council of Bishops organized a committee to study the situation. And on this committee, there are people who are both what we would call conservative and progressives. And together they're trying to work out something that will maintain our unity. And this is nothing new. Presbyterians, of course, they went through this and they ended up splitting and forming some more, a couple of branches of the Presbyterian Church. The Episcopals, they also split and they formed a couple of different branches of the Episcopal Church. They all have some things in common, and yet they do their own thing. There have been three possibilities suggested, but they're still fluid. They're still being worked on. They're not set in stone. This commission called the Way Forward, they're going to deliver a decision on what they think is the best thing for our denomination to do. They're going to deliver that decision next year in 2019. And then that'll have to go to annual conferences, and we'll all have to vote on it at annual conference, and then it goes to general conference in 2020. It is our hope and prayer that we can show the world what it means to be united in the love of Christ. That's our hope and prayer. That so what? We don't see eye to eye. There are some things we disagree on, but we want to come together in unity about the things we do agree on. And that is that this, we believe everybody deserves the love of Jesus Christ. That salvation is found in nobody else other than Jesus. That's our common ground. And so we want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. And I think that as long as we can maintain that, you know, so you think something's a sin, you think something's not. We are all called to love the sinners and hate the sin. We are all called to love each other, and we'll love each other to Jesus and let Jesus do the convicting and converting. The Holy Spirit is powerful, but that's where we're at with that whole situation with the church right now. We haven't received any definite information, so as things develop, we'll keep you apprised and let you know what's going on. In the meantime, please keep our denomination in prayer. So, having said that, I'm going to share with you a little story that you may have heard before. I know you have if you've been here. Since I've been here, because I told this story once before, and I'm going to share it again. It's about the great teacher, the great teacher. And so there was a community, a nice little community, great place. You'd love going there. People were all very friendly. This whole community works together and plays together, and they celebrate together, and the community council, they just get along really well, always looking out for each other's interests. Well, one day at a church council, at a borough council meeting, somebody got up and said, "Hey, we know about this great teacher that goes around to different communities and teaches them stuff. And they say that this great teacher is wonderful. I think we ought to bring the great teacher to our community. We think that this great teacher could really help us." And so they voted and they decided to go and send for this great teacher. So they set a date, and the great teacher said that she would come, and they gathered the community together. So everybody in the community came together expectantly. Oh, they couldn't wait. And the great teacher walked in, nodded and smiled at everybody, took her book, went up to the lectern, put the book down, opened the book up. She looked at everybody and she says, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" And they said, "Well, no." And she slammed her book shut and she said, "You're so ignorant, I'm leaving." And she left. What was that all about? And so they thought, well, surely she's got something that everybody says she's wonderful. She's got something to tell us. So they sent for her and they set up another date. And again, the people all gathered together expectantly. They were all excited. And sure enough, the great teacher come walking in, carrying her book, nodding and smiling at everybody. And she got up to the lectern, and she opened up her book, and she says, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" Well, they remembered what they said last time. So this time they said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, then you don't need me to tell you." She shut the book and walked out. Boy, they were perplexed. What can we do to find out what the great teacher has to tell us? She must really have something wonderful. And so they sent another letter to her, and they begged and pleaded with her. And she agreed, tried again. And so they set the date. Sure enough, the whole community came together, all the townspeople, expectantly, excited. And in walked the great teacher, carrying her book. She nodded and smiled at everybody. Went up to the lectern. She opened up her book. And she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" Well, they were ready. Half the people said yes. Half the people said no. And she said, "Well, then those of you who know can tell those who don't know." She shut her book and she walked out. Oh, boy, they were frantic. Just frantic. And they said, "Are you sure this is worth it?" And they said, "Oh, you should hear the reports from the other communities. She's got such wisdom. It's just so impressive. We really need to hear what she has to say." So they sent a special envoy, and this person went and met with the great teacher and apologized and begged and pleaded, and the great teacher agreed to come one more time. And so they set up the date. The townspeople all gathered together, and the great teacher walked in with her book, and she nodded and smiled at everybody. She went up to the pulpit. She put her book down, and she opened it up, and she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you?" And nobody said a word. There was complete silence. And she said, "Good, for now you are ready to listen." Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 through 38. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me," Jesus said, "and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The real battle going on in the church today, in all denominations, is, and I've said this before, you can take it to the bank, the real battle is over the authority of God's Word. Do you believe this Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is authoritative in all matters of life? Do you believe that the Word of God is worth dying for? I do too, absolutely. Amen, amen, amen. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God is what we say. When you hear somebody say that, it's tradition that you say back, thanks be to God. The word is living and alive, it says, and it won't return unto God void, until it accomplishes that for which it's been sent out. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the sake of the gospel will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus is the only way. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You know, there are some sections of the Bible that are dry and boring, and there are some sections of the Bible that are pleasant and pretty, and some sections of the Bible that are, well, quite frankly, a little confusing, hard to understand, hard to swallow. And there are some sections of the Bible that are obvious, that are plain, that are simple. This is one of those. Simple, easy to understand pericopes, a section of scriptures. Easy to understand, and there's no reason. We can't, we shouldn't obey it. We can't pick and choose what we're going to believe and what we're going to obey in the Bible. It's all or nothing. Jesus said that. He's saying that in this passage. It's all or nothing. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the children of God. There are a lot of things in life worth sacrificing for and dying for. And there are a lot of things in life that are not worth dying for. But this word is life. It's life itself, this word of God. And this word is for us as a church. And this word is for us as individuals. One more time, I'm going to read this. But this time, I'm reading it to you. Not to everybody, but to you. This is Jesus' message to you and to me. So look Jesus dead in the eye. Take his hand. Watch him as he talks to you. And this is what he's telling you. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." It's Lent. What do we have to do? What do we have to change in our lives in order to get closer to Jesus? What do we have to do to walk that Christian life better than we ever have before? Ask yourselves those questions. And then read Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38 this week. Keep reading it and reading it. God loves you, and so do I. We've got a unison prayer that we're going to say. And I would like us to stand while we say this prayer together. So if you're able, Please stand, and it's in your bulletin. It's also on page 607 of your hymnal. This is a covenant prayer in the Wesley tradition. Together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please remain standing. Turn in your hymnals to number 338, Where He Leads Me.
Thank you.
Well, hello. Things have improved, I understand. As far as the flu goes, it's getting better. I think a couple more weeks of not greeting, not getting too cozy, ought to be good. So we'll do that for a couple more weeks. So please, when you leave this place, I know that you can't resist to hug and shake hands. Wash those hands, especially before you touch your nose or your mouth. Wash those hands. Be safe. So we've got a lot of things going on. Did I mention that Pastor Stephen, we had upped his salary and he is staying. We're not looking for a new youth pastor. So he's staying and yeah. Yep, ministry is going great guns. So we're excited about that. There are places for you to get involved. The clipboard that's gone around. We need people to be on a prayer chain. If you're willing to be on the prayer chain, talk to Bernie Johnston or Gene Barrett. And we need drivers. They're just, don't forget the healing service going on and all kind of stuff. And pray. Pray and read Mark 8, 34 to 38 this week. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Thank you for our time together with you, Lord. And pour out your Spirit upon us. And guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go in our public and private lives. Your will be done, your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.